So, how's everybody doing? I imagine there are one or two of you in the room that are getting ready to start another semester of academic challenge and accomplishment courtesy of Virginia Polytechnic Institute State University, right? There you go. Hey, my name is Jim Pace. I'm one of the pastors or elders or reverends. I'm called Pastor Jim. I'm called Reverend Pace. I just really honestly prefer Jim, but I've also been called other things. We don't need to go into that now. It's too hurtful. So just feel free to call me Jim, but I'm one of the pastors or elders over this church, and I have a very, very important announcement to begin with. Some of you might not have gotten bulletins as you came in. We ran out at a few doors here and there, as happens occasionally. If you don't have them, they've got a lot of really helpful information in them. Would you mind just raising your hand if you didn't? I know we went around and tried to grab some of the folks that we missed there. We got some right there. If there's anybody here, I can't see you. So I just trust that someone else will. So just keep your hand up. Look at them running. This is how we do it. Everybody cheer on Christina. Let's see if we can get it. That all of a sudden started to feel like the price is right, is what it sounded like. So come on down. All right. You can guess how much the tithe is going to be today, Christina. That'll be what we'll do. All right. Good morning, good morning, good morning. We're so, so glad that you're here. Let me pray, and then we'll chat about a few things. Again, just keep your hand up. If you don't have a bulletin, people either think you need a bulletin or you're just raising your hand when you pray. Either way, it's a win. God, we just thank you so much that we get a chance to just come into your presence. Lord, we acknowledge what is very, very true and very, very apparent, that we don't deserve to be here. There's nothing in us that just intrinsically earned the right. The only reason we have a relationship with you is because you've chosen to have a relationship with us. Lord, we recognize that you created us to be in communion and connection with you, and we just kind of shoved you off your own creation, said we've got it, and look what we've done to the thing. Lord, the great news is that you just didn't stay away. You don't force us. You give us a way to come back to you. And so then you call us to just come together, to worship, to learn, to grow, to encourage, to challenge, all of it. Lord, we thank you for that. We love you, God, so, so much. Amen. All right. Well, as I said, I'm Jim. We have a pic of our family up here, as you have to show on things. Oh, that's the wrong. Well, hey, I sent the wrong one. My butt's just real, real prominent there, isn't it? That must be the lens. That's got to be the lens. So, okay, yeah, well, that's us. That's still us, just not maybe the one that I actually meant to. That's what happens when you email attachments really early in the morning. So, this is our family. We got Noah. I think he's back there somewhere. Okay. That'd be my guess that that's Noah. Yeah, that would be about right. We've got our daughter Emma, who we just moved into West Egg. West Egg, look at that. Not Main Egg. No. No, no. Not East Egg. There's real beef there. There's real beef there. That's right. Okay. We understand that. We have my wife, who I don't think is going to cheer, Trace. I don't think you're going to. You got, okay. Well, that's fair. There we go. All right. And our middle son, Seth, is staring over at the side, as the middle children often do. I'm a middle child. I know his pain. All right. So that is us. That's who we are. I came as a freshman to Virginia Tech. And look at that freshman. That's right. Let's just cheer everything, man. Let's take the lid off, all right? But I came, that's right. That's the word off. Yeah. I came as a freshman in 19 and 8 and 9. I know. Still upright. And with the exception of 1 year, we've been here since. I still remember moving into Pritchard. Oh, wow. Thank you. Thank you for just a little bit of that. That was nice. It was solid, but tasteful, you know? But, yeah, it's no West Egg, I gotta say. But that's all right. Look, we're not here to judge. But if we... No, we won't do that. But I remember my first hall meeting. It was like Sunday night. I think that's when a lot of yours on campus, you guys are going to have them tonight. I remember this time, and there are a lot of people in the room. A lot of people in the room that the things that you're dealing with now are very, very different than they were maybe even this time last week. For the core, if any members of the core are here, they got here a little bit earlier and got gently introduced to Virginia Tech Living about a week ago. But I remember what it was like to live in a dorm that was as big as my high school. I remember things that I had never really given too much thought to becoming a little bit more complicated. You know, breakfast was fairly straightforward when I was living at home. I left my room, I went to the kitchen, and it was either there or the stuff to make it was there. And suddenly I had to figure out the building that I went to in order to do that. You've got things that you have to learn. You have to learn where your classes are. You have to learn where, when you can possibly go to Brugger's and not wait in line for half an hour.
Never.
That's right. That's a trick question. Can't be done. But you have to learn so many things. And even if you're not a new student, then for those of you that are students, you're in new classes. You might be living in a new place. There's a lot of people that will be in here that aren't students. And it could be that work brought you here. And so you're trying to figure out how that works. I mean, we understand that on January 1st, the new year technically starts. But in Blacksburg, it's tomorrow. Everything is new, or a whole lot of it is. And something that can happen when you're dealing with things that are new is you kind of start to tunnel in and narrow your focus down just a little bit. I mean, any of you that remember what it was like when you learned to drive, you understand what that's like. I mean, before, when you're riding in the passenger seat, you can do anything. And then when you're learning how to drive, I remember when I was just trying to keep from colliding with every single car that came the other way or every single tree on the side. It took all of my attention. I mean, how long did it take you before you could relax enough to really start texting while driving? Huh? Come on. It takes a while, doesn't it? It truly, truly does. That's how this happens. There's even something that, and you guys I'm sure have noticed it, that happens to you when someone asks you a difficult question. You look away. You kind of look to the side. You look up. You do that. It's called lateral eye movement. There's a whole field that deals with this stuff in neuro-linguistics. And what they've studied is why your eye moves, which, I mean, if you're in neuro-linguistics, go, keep going, figure that one out for us. For me, it doesn't feel super important, but I can acknowledge the value in somebody doing that. But what they've discovered is, at least one of the theories, is that you're moving your eyes away from things that have a lot of stimuli to something that is a little more neutral so that you can kind of, I don't know, free up some RAM so you can think about what you've been asked. This is what we do. We do it all the time. When something is challenging, we tighten, narrow, and focus. And that is not a bad thing. It just isn't. It's just not always a helpful thing. Because sometimes when we do that, our focus can narrow and it can exclude things that are important. Like some of you that run, it might be hard to get running again because it's just hard to figure out when. I remember when I first started working full time, I don't know how many months it took me to figure out how do you buy groceries, wash your clothes, go to work, and just do it. It's harder than I thought it was. It just takes time. Other habits and hobbies can kind of get shoved to the side. I dare say, after I graduated high school, I never picked up my trombone again, and we're all the lesser for that. I know. It's a real shame. But we also can kind of narrow and exclude things that are important. Surprisingly enough, like God. Even people, I mean, and there, just so you know, if you're new, there are people in this room that have got very, very strong, mature, developing walks with God, and they are moving in faith, and they are looking to see what he's calling them to do, and they're using their gifts and all of that. And we've got people that were like me, when I started. That was, I had just started my faith and I wasn't quite sure what I thought. I've described myself kind of as a recovering cynic. I don't just tend to believe things just because somebody says it, even when I should. I'm recovering, I'm getting better at it, but I, you know, that's difficult. And so there are people that are going to be very new in here as well, that their faith is just starting to get figured out. And there are going to be people that aren't really sure what to make of this whole God thing at all. I was that way my first 3 years here at Tech. Faith in God, faith in Jesus felt a bit like a fable that we told ourselves to give ourselves reasons for things that we probably should be doing anyway. And that's kind of what it felt like. Some helpful stories, some good rules of life in some cases. Never happened, wasn't real. It took me a long time to research and discover that in fact it is. But we can push things out. We can push out worshiping together with a body because, you know, it's easier to download something. But we lose something there. We can push out being connected through small groups, and we'll tell you a few, you know, a little bit more about ours in just a little bit. But we can push those things out because we're just trying to get focused on the things that we need. Again, that process isn't bad. We just sometimes need to open it up just a little bit. I mean, if you guys didn't come here, you wouldn't know something that's incredibly impactful culturally that's happening tonight. Sharknado 6. Sharknado 6. It's about time. It's the one. It's the last one. There's no more of this story left to tell. Okay, now that's hurtful. I heard that. Some would say there's... Now, I would argue there really hasn't been very much story to tell for a long time. But if we did not have these, we'd have no idea what happens when a bunch of sharks get sucked up into a bunch of tornadoes. Usually, it starts on the West Coast. We won't draw any conclusions from that. We'll just say that's kind of how it seems to happen. We wouldn't know what happens when they go across nuclear power plants and become irradiated. We wouldn't know what happens when a bunch of sharknados form into a sharkicane. We wouldn't know it. And after tonight, we will know what's happened in days past, the stories we have not been told. That's right. So you wouldn't know about Sharknado. And you'd be the lesser for it. No, you would not be the lesser for it. I am going to watch it. I guarantee you that I'm going to watch it. But what we're talking about beyond Sharknado is we're this week we're just doing a very quick initial 3-week series that we're calling Vertebrae. All right? And what we're going to be doing is we're going to be looking at how we relate to God, how we relate to each other, and how we relate to the world. And we're going to kind of touch on each of those and just kind of get ourselves situated. And after that, we're going to finish up the Acts series that we started last fall. All right, now, for those of you that weren't here, that's fine. We'll get you caught up. Promise. We're good for that. You know, for those of you that were, we're going to handle it a little bit differently. Last year, or, you know, last fall, we took it in small clumps of verses, and we just kind of worked our way through. This fall, we're going to handle it more thematically and look at what the Spirit is trying to do as we move through the very, very, very first days of the church. It's going to be an exciting, exciting year. But the reason that we're calling this series Vertebrae is because we liked it. That's why we just thought, what are words we like? We just Googled words we like, and that's what we ended up choosing. It's more than that. The vertebrae in our body is this incredibly complicated system of bones. And okay, for the H&FE majors and the pre-med people, look, I'm sure I'm going to say something wrong. We don't need to hear about it. We don't. But it is. It's got it. The amazing part of our vertebrae is it is incredibly strong. Our spinal column is incredibly strong. It can allow us to support 2-3, so in one case, I think in the world record, 4 times the weight of our body. I don't know if you guys have ever seen the world's strongest man competitions. Those things are amazing. These guys are giants and they're lifting like houses. I think that's the next thing. They literally drag semis. They lift cars. I think it's just going to have to move a house the next time. That's the next challenge. But it allows us to do that, but it's also incredibly delicate. You can lift incredible weights and bending over to tie your shoe You can knock something out of place, and then your life is quite different after that for a while. You know, it's the system that everything kind of hangs on. It lets us walk upright. We have a couple members of our staff that are trying to help me have better posture. Apparently, I'm a slumper. I think this is right. It doesn't feel right at all, but I think this is closer to what I'm supposed to be doing. But it's where so many muscles and tendons, it's where everything kind of, or a lot of things kind of connect in, and it protects the spinal cord. This part of us that if it gets damaged much at all, then you are different after that. Life is different after that. And that seems like a great image of this strength, but this delicateness that describes the way that our relationship with God is. Incredibly strong, but also very responsive to the things that we do with it and against it. And for the H&FE majors, we understand that we're talking about vertebrae, and what I described was the vertebral spinal system, but that's just a bad series title, so we weren't going to call it that. You know, we're just vertebrae. Just go with us here. But what we're trying to do is look at the thing that allows us, among so many other things, just to stand up and face the world around us and move through it well. Our relationship with God, our relationship with each other, our relationship with the world is centrally important in that. Centrally important. What I want to do is I want to read you something from John 16. In this section of John, it's written by, unsurprisingly, John. And he's the disciple that he and Jesus seem to have an especially close relationship. He wasn't one of Jesus' brothers, but it was almost like that. And he was recounting the events that occurred just before Jesus was arrested, beaten cruelly, crucified, and then resurrected. So he's kind of laying this out. The Holy Spirit is guiding him to write this. And he quotes Jesus. He starts off with, "Do you now believe?" Jesus replied. "A time is coming, and in fact, has come, when you will be scattered, each to your own home, and you will leave me all alone." This is Jesus just kind of laying it out. He's saying, okay, now, the time is coming. In fact, it's now. When you guys are going to scatter and you're going to leave me. And we see that that's exactly what happened. We see that the disciples left him. This is right before, you know, Paul or Peter's, you know, really famous, I don't know who that guy is. I really don't. I have no idea who that guy is. Why are you asking me? I don't know who that guy is. You know, and their scattering made sense. Back then, there wasn't innocent until proven guilty. There was, you're with the dude we think is guilty, so are you. If Jesus was going to be crucified, if he was going to be turned over, then Rome would typically look for the friends, friends and family, and say, okay, you too. They were in very real danger. They were in danger from the Jewish guard that originally arrested Jesus. So they just left, and he's just saying, that's what happened, and that's what will. "You will leave me all alone, yet I am not alone, for my Father is with me." He said, "You will leave me, but I'm not by myself, even when it appears that I am by myself. I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace." I think what Jesus is trying to say here is there's going to come a moment when you're all going to leave, and it's going to look like I am completely on my own, and I'm telling you that even then, I am not on my own. Then he says, "I tell you these things so that in me you might have peace." I think part of what he's doing there is he's comforting them. I mean, can you imagine Jesus? He's about to go to the cross for those dudes as well as all of us, and he's still trying to comfort and guide.